I actually started here in October of last year. KHA hired me then, noting that they really needed a person to focus on the workforce issues. And in September, the month before I got here, they released a report that showed overall we had about 17% vacancies in all of our hospitals for employees. And that's across all the board for all employees, from barista all the way through experienced nurses. And about 5,000 of those vacancies are nurses. And so that was a critical report. Nancy Galvani, our CEO, did a press conference and really focused on the needs of the hospitals. And this is for healthcare needs, to state the obvious, but there's also community economic development needs as well, because hospitals tend to be the largest employers in the area. And in fact, hospitals for economic development bring in more money than the bourbon and horse industries combined. And so we believe that it's for the future of healthcare, but it's also for the future of the community's economic development to really focus on healthcare. The Kentucky Chamber have a talent pipeline management program for several years. Sarah, that's why she and I started working together as soon as I got here, was already focusing on healthcare. And the decision was made here that we should, instead of working kind of indirectly with the chamber to help the pipeline, to go ahead and make an economic commitment with the chamber to hire five regional people to really focus on the five different areas of Kentucky. They match up with the ad districts already familiar with most people for economic development. And so, for example, in Eastern Kentucky, we have a person that's hired who lives in Eastern Kentucky, is familiar with the area. And that's going to be one part of her job, is to be helping very locally with economic development and building the talent pipeline for the hospitals. But the other part as well for all five of these folks are to share great ideas that other parts of the state are doing. So our person in Western Kentucky may learn about a project that she can then share with a person representing Eastern Kentucky that may very well work over there as well. So it'll be both community-centric, but also sharing statewide, because there are great things throughout the state that people are trying to do, but sometimes they're all done in isolation and word does not get spread very quickly.
Let me, before Sarah, before I pull you in here, I missed the date. You said Nancy Galvani had the announcement or news conference. When was that again, roughly?
It was in September 2022. I
Okay.
can send you that workforce report after this if you'd like it. It's on our website, but I'll send you a copy of it directly.
Okay.
And that
So
was when the Lane report and our press release cited the 17% vacancy rate from the hospitals. It's from that report.
Okay. So from September of 22 until now, can you say if there's been much of a difference? Is there much of a difference?
I will say stay tuned. So that was a annual calendar year snapshot for 2021 that was released in September of 2022. So now we are finalizing now a report that's going to have a snapshot of 2022. I believe it's improved a little bit, not as much as we would like. But again, we need to finalize because we get data. Every single hospital is a member of KHA. So every single hospital is supplying that data to us that we then have to put together. So I'm hoping that a snapshot for 2022 will be released in August, so just next month. We also have a report that'll be coming out in, this will probably be more in September, but this is going to be a projection going to 2035. And so right now, like I said, and this will be focusing on nurses. So right now, we have about 5,000, or at least from the report we released in September, we had about 5,000 nurse vacancies in our hospitals. So even if we are improving on that margin, the issue that we have is in 2035, we're projecting the demand for healthcare is gonna continue to increase, particularly with aging population. People 70 or older are going to increase the population in Kentucky by about 130, 140,000 people. But unfortunately, our working age folks, 18 to 79, is going to stay somewhat stagnant. So that means, and also a lot of those retirees are also going to be from our hospitals. So we're going to be re have retirements from the general population, retirements from our hospitals, and by 2035, and then we need to recruit those folks from a from a working population that's relatively stagnant.
Again, Sarah, I'll get to you in just a second. I keep thinking of another question, right? There it certainly is the perception, and probably more than that, about the impact of COVID on nursing distress, the well-known stress and burnout and issues that had a big impact. Is that still the issue when you talk about the 5,000, the need for 5,000 nurses?
I don't think currently it has as much as of an impact right now. I think we did lose some folks to that. I think some folks have come back, but I think it's a myriad of issues. It's other opportunities for nurses, virtual nursing, private practices, insurance companies hiring nurses. The Kentucky Board of Nursing has great statistics on that. And so it's trying to get people back to the bedside. The bedside is not an easy job, but it's an extremely rewarding job. I mean, unfortunately, each of us have probably been in the hospital environment at some point, and I think we just remember that nurse that's been with us, all those people by the bedside, and it is highly stressful at times. We get that. I don't, but I think COVID, that part is kind of waning. I think it obviously had an effect on the nurses, but I believe that it is, that's not as much of a cause right now. It's trying to rebuild it up.
Yeah. And as you touched on, there are a lot of opportunities lie in different directions too, outside of the hospital setting. I mean, so you think that's more and more of a factor too.
I think it's becoming a factor. It's yeah, I think it's becoming a strong factor, just with the virtual. We also, and another part that we're overcoming are the travel nurses, because as during COVID, and this is I think where we see the numbers maybe getting better, that does affect COVID. During COVID, travel nurses became extremely lucrative. And so they could sometimes they travel within the state. They'd be a travel nurse for a Louisville hospital, even though they lived in Lexington, for example. We heard about that. But some of them were going to higher need areas in New York or California in the midst of COVID, and the pay was just really high. The demand was high. Now that demand is waning, and wages for hospitals are going up to meet the demand, that we don't have as much of an issue with the travel nurses as we did 2 years ago. And I think travel nursing tends to be stressful because you're no longer in your own community, you're no longer in your own home. So I think it's, from what I've heard, it's exciting at first to be in another community, but then living out of a hotel and all kind of stops being as exciting as it initially was.
The pay, pay, I mean, that's got to be an issue. So do you feel that generally a hospital, not just for nurses, but people in hospital positions, pay is competitive with other opportunities?
I believe so. I believe so. I think that I don't have the exact data on that yet. That'll be part of our that'll be part of the newer report coming out. I think the biggest issue right now, though, is just the demand for healthcare as our population ages. It's not exactly the healthiest state, unfortunately. There are a lot of health factors, and so that demand keeps on going up. And so even with these snapshots with the 5,000 nurses not having those vacancies, even if we meet that gap, which would be phenomenal, we have to keep working. That doesn't mean our work is done, because that demand, as the population ages, that's going to be increasing. And so that's why we're excited about this partnership and the talent pipeline. And part of it is, when Sarah can get back on, we want to get into the schools as soon as possible, at the earliest grades that are possible. So even elementary school, as a person I met with in Owensboro on Wednesday, they want to make science cool again for kids. Part of that's through technology and making just the science and anatomy and how you study it cool again. The other part is all educators right now are overwhelmed, and the student counselors, they're overwhelmed for helping them find placements after graduation. Sometimes they don't always think of hospitals as an employer unless you're already a nurse. But as I said earlier, hospitals hire baristas, they hire medical transport, patient people. So there's a way that you can get a foot in the door very early on and build a career. Certificate for being a phlebologist can be done, I believe, in about 6 weeks. And so that's a huge foot in the door to help hospitals be able to get blood drawn and get yourself into the career. Maybe become the phlebologist, then become the nurse assistant, then become the practical nurse, and just move your way up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's going to be a lot of it. Is there are great partnerships with the hospitals and the high schools and the primary schools, and we want to continue to build that interest, and so that they will either go to the hospital directly and or go to school, get that at least a PN or the 2-year nurse degree, and get into the hospitals. And the hospitals do a fantastic job of continuing education. And so if we get them in the door, make science cool again, then the hospitals can go from there and retain and help further their education.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sarah, glad you got back in. can you offer a thought as to Chamber's involvement in this?
Absolutely, yes. And so sorry, of course, my internet went out right at that moment. but appreciate your all's patience. I think what's really unique about this partnership is we've been doing talent pipeline management, which is actually a program created by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation, since about 2018. And I was brought on board as the Chamber Foundation was kind of introducing TPM to the state of Kentucky as a workforce program. And what's really, really neat about this partnership is, for example, when I started in 2018, I was a regional project manager, like we've talked about today. We're going to have people in different regions across the state. But I worked with any industry that came to the table. So construction, manufacturing, healthcare, I was doing it all. In anyone that came in the Southeast region. This partnership, I think, is really, really special because it makes it exclusive to healthcare and hospitals in particular. So you don't necessarily have a project manager that has, per se, divided attention. I am solely focused on hospitals and healthcare in the central and northern Kentucky region. That's my region in particular. But I just think it gives it an advantage to really focus on that particular workforce.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So tell me a little more of how this works. The first thing I think of is, and this is probably just maybe just a really small facet, it's like a job fair, but it, I mean, so what does this person do in this
project managers in these roles?
Yeah.
So yeah, no, it's a good question. And yeah, actually a lot of people have looked at it in a very similar fashion. They've seen it as kind of a one-stop shop. We're going to help get a job seeker into a job, right? But this is really TPM is a bigger, a more long-term solution to workforce issues. So it's not just holding a job fair and meeting the individual and putting them in the role, although that is so critically important. It's really more about working at almost the C-suite level with hospitals, as well as those education and training partners to put together, I mean, what we call talent pipelines, to build something stronger that's going to work more long-term.
Mm-hmm. You know, John talked earlier about like trying to reach young people, you know, young. So, and I guess, you know, and that can help certainly if you, what, did you start to get their interest in middle school even?
Yeah, I mean, really, it's just as important, I think, in my opinion, to find out what you don't like as what you do, you know, or if this is going to be an industry that interests you. I actually, excuse me, have a background in agriculture and worked at a local school here in Lexington. And it was so interesting. We had a vet clinic on site and we had a lot of students who, you know, grew up and they wanted to be a vet. But the minute that they actually came and were able to, say, watch a procedure, sometimes, you know, they realized they were going to faint. And it was not for them, you know, it was not for them. And so being able to have hospitals that offer those opportunities or can connect at that middle school level is so critically important to let those students know if it's for them or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. I think I read in the release. So you have, I guess, I'll say in hand 4 of the 5 people. Is that right? And then I think I also read there, John, that so the hospital association, you're funding these positions. Is that how it works?
Yes. Yeah. We have a contract with the chamber to fund these positions.
Okay. Okay. You know, always the nagging question. So are you pretty close to getting number 5?
Yes, we are. We are close on that. We had, I was going to talk about a particular candidate, but that would be inappropriate. But okay. So yes.
Okay. Okay. Let me ask, I guess, Sarah, back to you on work. You know, there's this, when you hear workforce shortage, there's still, I think it's fair to say, the perception of, you know, still coming out of COVID and people not working and, you know, incentives not to work and just the enthusiasm about getting back to work. Is that an issue still?
Question for me to answer personally, I guess I would say. I think that's a perception for sure. I don't know that is one of the main issues. I think there are a lot of things contributing to, especially the workforce shortage in healthcare in particular, like John talked about earlier with an aging population and, you know, our general population of working age individuals not necessarily growing for the most part. I think those are all big factors as opposed to just people not wanting to work to a degree.
No, I think
it's a hard question. I think I think it's hard to know the root cause of everything. I mean, I think we can see a lot of different things, you know, the opioid epidemic here in Kentucky, and there are a lot of factors that contribute to our workforce issues. So it's hard to say, like, that's the issue.
I guess for either of you, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think I'd like to bank off of something Sarah mentioned about, you know, trying to get to the kids younger and what they may be interested in, because I'll share one anecdote that really illustrates the diversity of opportunities within a hospital. So this was a high school student, not middle school student. I've actually heard this type of story several times, and it makes sense. So they go in, they go in either to the ED or the emergency department area or to a surgical area. And this particular story I heard just last week, one of the high schoolers just fainted on sight upon what this person saw. But the person was still highly intrigued with working in a hospital, and that person wound up staying with it, but being in the radiology department, long story short. Mm-hmm. So that's another reason where, you know, people may see healthcare, but they may just see, you know, from whatever show they watch on TV, and blood and guts is not for them. But working in the lab, working in radiology, working in other services, because they're still interested in healthcare, there's just that one aspect they cannot handle. And so that story has stuck with me as an illustration of trying to get to folks young and let them know about the diversity of opportunities. And again, the hospitals tend to be the largest employers. So this is beyond healthcare. It's also the economic development, the continuing economic development, higher wages for the people being employed. And if we can get them out of high school or soon thereafter, after a couple of years of school or more, that's fantastic.